Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to worship on this Mission Sunday, the fifth Sunday in Lent. We're going to start off with some announcements this morning. On Wednesday, we've got our virtual Lenten Bible study that we've been doing. We're looking at the I Am statements of Jesus. If you would like to be a part of that virtual Zoom Bible study, please send an email to Pastor John. His email address is in your announcement box on your bulletin. If you could send him an email, you can get a link to join us with that Bible study. Also on Wednesday night, directly following that Bible study, there's the Shady Oak virtual Bible study. And if you'd be interested in being a part of that, you can reach out to Pastor Giovanni. His contact information... Oh, you've got a new preacher. So if you'd like to be a part of that virtual Shady Oak Bible study, you'll find Pastor Giovanni's contact information on the back of the bulletin. So, next week is already Palm Sunday. I'd like to let you know that worship and Sunday school next week are going to be at their normal times. So, and then 1 week after that, we're already at Easter. So, on Easter morning, worship will be at 9:30. There will be no Sunday school on Easter morning. Just want to draw your attention to that. We've got a deacon board meeting coming up this Thursday, the 25th, at 7 p.m. here at the church. So there's a deacon board meeting this Thursday. And as I mentioned, Easter's coming up. It's time to decorate for Easter. So if you would like to bring a potted plant or some flowers in a vase to decorate the sanctuary in memory of a loved one, it's time to start thinking about doing that. If you'd like to do that, please reach out to either Becky, Kathy, or Joy and let them know so that they know who is being commemorated and who's going to be bringing some flowers for decoration. And those flowers are to be here at the church by 9 a.m. on Easter morning. So, now we're going to talk about the Salvation Army. They're hosting this Empty Bowls fundraiser. Yeah. So that's going to be on Thursday, April 15th. What happens is they have artists, local artists, make these handmade bowls that I've heard are very beautiful, and they fill them with soup, and those are available to you, Stavanger, for a suggested donation of $20. So all the proceeds from that go to their food program. So a good, worthy cause to support. So that's going to be on Thursday, April 15th, and it's from 10 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon, and also 4:30 to 6 at a Center for the Arts in downtown Fergus Falls, if you'd like to support that. Oh, thank you for mentioning that. I don't want to get all of your hopes up for some soup when it's just a recipe. So, yeah. Makes sense with COVID, you know. Don't want to pass around the food. So, do we have any other announcements that should be made? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Good Friday, there will be a service here. You said 6 o'clock?
6:30.
6:30, and that will be a communion service on Good Friday. So, are there any other announcements that should be made this morning? So, last month for Mission Sunday, we watched a glimpse video about some unreached people groups in Chad, right? And if you remember, unreached means that they don't have access to the gospel in their own culture and language. So these unreached people groups can go their entire life without hearing the good news of the gospel. Today we're going to learn about one of these people groups. We're going to learn about the Bilala in this video.
The Bilala are one of the unreached people groups that LBIM is working with in Chad. The tribe is known to be very proud of its cultural identity.
سمسم وخل دخل وبربره لا 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 خدمنا الناس بلالة ده وايدين تجار وايدين عندهم بهايم وايدين قاعدين بيسووا جردين في بوت برا وايدين يكون جهود في فتري داخل خدمنا ده كتير انت تقول انا بلالة ده ميم هناك ده تاريخ هناك اللي انت مرق فوقه البكان اللي انت جيت من بكانه جدك دول اللي وصفوك انيني جيني من دار مثل ده قبل جينا اسمنا ده بلالة بكان اللي جينا ده اسمنا بلالة كان قبيلة آخر كان جا كل بيج من ده صفيله بالبلالة نقول بلالة لكن كان بعدين فتشنا ده هو ده جامين كي وده جامين كي هو دين الهس بلالة قاعد بتابي ده دين الإسلام بلالة ده دين الإسلام لكن يهب أي نادم كان جاء ده هو يقول مرحبا انت مسيحي أمشي كي ولا انت كي أمشي كي ده ما في انت مسيحي أمشي كي ولا انت كي أمشي كي ده ما في يا تقول يمشي في دين هنا لكن أنين أخوان لي إيش سوا نقود سوا ونقوم سوا كان نادم جانا اليوم كله أنين ده نقول له مرحبا.
Pray for the Bilala that God would open their eyes to Jesus, and pray that God would raise up more missionaries to go to them, sharing the good news of the gospel.
So this is a reminder to keep in mind that we're pretty lucky to have access to the gospel, to have access to not even just one translation of the Bible in English, but a variety to choose from, a variety of churches in our community to hear the word. So we should remember these unreached people groups and who aren't as lucky as we are. So if you would like to support the mission that is going on there, you can designate your check for Mission Sunday, and it will go to support that mission. Now let us begin our worship service. Our call to worship is from Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather to worship you. As we continue to worship you, we ask that you would turn our hearts and our minds to you, that you would direct our attention to your holy word. We pray that we would be filled with your scripture, that we would find our hope in your gospel. We acknowledge your great goodness toward us, and we praise you for the mercy and grace that you have shown us. Keep us this day in your gracious care, securely trusting in your everlasting goodness and love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please rise as you are able as we continue to worship God with our songs and praises.
Oh,
Now we continue to worship with our second hymn, Jesus Paid It All. To rise as you were able, as we continue to worship God, coming to the Lord with a confession of our sin and also hearing the words of forgiveness. I invite you to follow along on your bulletin or up on the screen. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son life for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, in true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us. And for his sake, forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. Let us also confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for meeting us here today. We pray for the sick and the hurting, the broken and the depressed. We pray for those who are mourning the loss of a loved one, and for those whose suffering prevents them from being here with us today. We think of many who are still unable to worship in person with us. And we pray for those who have been isolated because of this pandemic. We pray that you would comfort those who are feeling depressed and anxious, lonely from being shut in. We thank you for your promise to be with us always. We pray for all of the leaders in our state and in our country and around the world, that you would give them your wisdom and discernment as they navigate making difficult decisions. We pray that you would grow and strengthen your church in unity and in love. We ask that our ears would be open to receive your word this morning. Now we pray as our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now I'd like to welcome up Pastor John as he delivers the sermon this morning.
Have you ever tried to teach something to someone again and again, and find they just don't get it? Or maybe you've been the person who was being taught. Ever have that feeling? I don't get it. It appears we have a case of this in our gospel passage for today, as Jesus, not for the first time, tells his disciples what he is about to encounter as he goes to Jerusalem one last time in his earthly ministry. I invite you to rise as you're able for the reading of God's word from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, verses 32 through 45. I read in Jesus' name. They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. And the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. We are going up to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and teachers and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Let us pray. O Lord, forgive us for not getting it, or not caring if we do. But by your Holy Spirit and your word, break through our hearts of stone. Open our eyes, our ears, that we might see you, that we might hear your voice. And our hearts, Lord, may they be opened to receive you and your word again this day. We ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen. They were on their way up to Jerusalem for one last Passover festival. People were afraid. They perhaps had a sense that trouble was brewing. The tensions between Jesus and the Jewish religious leaders were escalating. And their expectations of what might happen when a Messiah king comes to establish himself perhaps made them a little bit nervous. Power transitions can be nerve-wracking for everyone. And Jesus was identified as the Messiah earlier on by Peter. We go back a few chapters just to have some context for what's going on here. If we go back to Mark chapter 8, Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say that I am? In Mark 8:27. They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." It's the Greek word for Messiah. That means the one God has chosen to be the king, the ruler. Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. And then, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Peter didn't get it. And we find in this passage, James and John didn't get it. If anybody should get it, these three should get it. These are Jesus' inner circle of the 12. He taught the crowds. He said more to the disciples, the 70 plus. And he said even more to the 12 disciples that we have named here. And he spent even more time and showed more of himself to the three, Peter, James, and John. They were the ones that got to go up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, where Jesus appeared in glory with Moses and Elijah on either side of him, the great prophets of the Old Testament. Peter, James, and John. They got as much of an inside scoop as anybody, and they still didn't get it. Peter understands, yes, Jesus is the one, but he doesn't know what that means. Because when Jesus says, because I am the one, I must suffer, I must be killed, Peter starts to take him to task on this. And it seems to go just like whoosh right over James and John's head in our passage today. Jesus is saying, the Son of Man, that's his title for himself, which we get from the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 13. If you want to go to the Old Testament prophet of Daniel, chapter 7, 13 and 14. In Daniel's vision, he looked, and there before him was one like a Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. The Son of Man, this glorious, heavenly, authoritative, eternal figure, is the reference Jesus has of himself. The Son of Man, this glorious one, must be handed over, mocked, spit on, flogged, and killed. The Son of Man must suffer. It's like Peter hears, and James and John, they hear Son of Man, they got the picture, glory, power. And they maybe are thinking of the promise made to David, that great king of the Old Testament, the one in Jesus' human ancestry of the tribe of Judah. David, the one in 2 Samuel, where David is promised in 2 Samuel 7, verse 12, that an offspring from David will have an eternal kingdom, will rule forever. David, that great king, the one who raised up the armies and led them into battle and defeated all of Israel's enemies and established himself as a great and powerful king. And his son Solomon built the temple and has great wealth, and there's peace and stability for just this little blip in the history of Israel. And that's what they're looking back at, that we're going to have one that's even better, the Messiah. They hear Messiah, they hear Son of Man, and they got these pictures of this great glory. And then Jesus starts talking about suffering, and it's like it just goes whoosh right past him. Whoosh. One of my Bible school teachers talked about this whoosh phenomena. He said when he was, it was either in college or seminary, it was his Greek teacher, his biblical Greek teacher, would sometimes get a little bit frustrated with his students. You know, he'd be trying to teach a concept, something over, and the students, you know, sometimes they just won't get it. And in frustration, just to demonstrate, you know, when he'd ask a question and they would respond, you know, just their response is way off the mark, he would have this mock kind of conversation with himself. He'd say, "Well, how are you today? 6 o'clock. My friends and I, we just adopted that. We saw something that just didn't make any sense. It was really stupid. All we would say is 6 o'clock, and they go, mm-hmm. That was our little shorthand. James and John, they just got this little 6 o'clock moment. The Son of Man's going to suffer. Jesus, we would like to be at your right and your left in your glory. They're thinking of a different event, going to Jerusalem. They got visions of Roman conquerors being driven out of enemies here and there, and of this glorious resurgence of the people of Israel. Oh yes, Jesus will be coronated when he goes to Jerusalem. There will be a sign that says, "This is the King of the Jews." But it will be nailed to a cross where he will be wearing a crown of thorns. "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. OK. can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? The cup, it's a metaphor for suffering. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. There's no literal physical cup here, but it's of drinking something bitter, of suffering. And a baptism, he's not talking of the kind of baptism with water. No, it's being immersed into an experience of suffering. The cup, the baptism. Peter and or James and John said, yeah, we're good. We can do it. And Jesus says, yeah, well, matter of fact, you will do it. But the right and left positions, these places of honor, that's not mine to grant. Jesus teaches them, is attempting to teach them. He does teach them, yet they don't quite get it yet. The definition of greatness. It's not what they think. They're thinking the way that they're wired to think, the way all of us are wired to think when we're born. It's with me in the center, and whatever serves my interests, my comfort, my agenda, that's what's great. King of the hill, top of the heap. People waiting on me. Jesus says, no, that's not greatness. If you want to be great, verse 43, Mark 10, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Now, for us hearing this today, we've those of us who've grown up hearing the scriptures and following Jesus, we've been taught this. Again, this doesn't come as a big shock to us, at least if we don't think about it too hard. We've heard it before. But to think about Jesus, the impact of those words were for his disciples. I mean, servants, these were people of lower status. It was, you know, in their minds, better to be served than to be a servant. It's like, lowly. We have sort of an ideal in our culture of equality and people being on the same level that we don't have royalty and commoners in our ideal anyway, you know, that we're all kind of on an even playing field, or we like to think that, or we want. But no, this culture was very stratified. You had people up here and people, everyone had their place. And there wasn't necessarily a lot of movement from one place to another. A servant? No. And if you want to be first, you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus redefines what it really means to be great. And it doesn't look anything like the way the world defines it. Furthermore, Jesus demonstrates what it means to be great. He not only teaches them, he not only gives them the information, but he demonstrates it. He shows it. When he was with them, as it recorded in the Gospel of John, just after this event here, as he actually does enter Jerusalem, and it's the Passover festival, it's his Passion Week, he is with his disciples, he wraps a towel around his waist, kneels down, and he washes their feet. The job of a slave, of a servant. Feet walking through dusty, dirty, manure-strewn streets. With all those animals in Jerusalem for the Passover, for sacrifices, the places you were walking could not have been terribly clean. feet got dirty. And washing them was not a pleasant job. And it was not a high status job. But it was a job that Jesus willingly took to demonstrate who he was and who they are to be as his followers. That is greatness. Defined and demonstrated. And that's all we need, right? Just the information and maybe a good example, and we're good to go. That's how a lot of people regard Jesus, as a good teacher and a good example. But if you stop there, the goods don't get delivered. Because our sinful hearts need more than good instruction and a good example. They need good motivation. They need goodness, period. Something we're not born with. And so Jesus delivers good news here. He not only defines greatness and demonstrates it, but he delivers it. He delivers it by allowing himself to be delivered into the hands of those who mocked him, spit on him, flogged him, and killed him. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. To give his life as a payment to set free many. To set free you and me. The good news here is not that if we get a good enough information or good enough example that we'll finally get it. No, the good news here is that not that we get it, but that Jesus gave it. He gave it for you. His life. And that we receive it in this good news. When his Holy Spirit comes upon us, that we can actually believe this truth and be set free. Set free from the bondage of having to think of ourselves as the greatest and needing to be in that position. Set free by the fact that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That if we've been baptized in Christ, we have been baptized into his death. In Christ, we have been in baptism connected with him, identified with him in his death and his resurrection. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. This isn't just new information or an example to follow. This is a new reality. And Jesus hints at the promise of what he is about to do in the lives of James and John. He says, "You will drink that cup I drink and be baptized with that baptism I am baptized with." We read in the book of Acts that James was killed for his faith. And in the book of Revelation, we see that John was exiled. He suffered for the privilege of following Jesus. But they, with anyone who is found in Christ, receive a far greater reward than any suffering in this life. we receive the forgiveness of sins. The ransom has been paid in full. And all of our obtuseness, all of our rebelliousness, all that offense against God has been washed by the ransoming blood of Jesus. Wow. Jesus is not only greatness defined and demonstrated, but Jesus is greatness delivered. Delivered to you. He comes to us in His Word. He comes to us in holy baptism. He comes to us in the bread and cup of the Lord's Supper. In baptism, we are identified with the death and resurrection of Jesus, and at the Lord's Supper, we are brought back to the cross of Jesus and assured once again our sins are forgiven. We do have a place with Him. We have been seated with Him in the heavenly realms, as St. Paul declares in the book of Ephesians. We have been seated with Him. Even while we're yet here on this earth, we do have privilege that He's given us. And so as we go through this season of Lent, we're pointed again to the cross of Jesus, the place where we see and where we receive true greatness. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, remind us when we forget. And we thank You that You do. That You laid down Your life for us that we might receive a new life in You. Help us to live in it today. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor John. Please rise as you are able as we sing our closing chorus, "Go Now in Peace." Benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you His peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.